And?
I'll just wait for my mic to come on.
Yeah.
Oscar and Marcia, no. Just record it, thank you. Eunice Byman and Gordon Byman. Okay, thank you. Peter Gorton and Denise Gorton. Gordson, recorded, thank you. Linda Snell, thank you. Sally Barr. Thank you. Larry Barr. The initial looks like a C, and then Nowostansky. Thank you. John Nowostansky. Oh, certainly. Travis will grab that from you. Angelo Gabriel. Okay, thank you. Colleen and Greg Ewenq, just recorded. Thank you. Sarah and Wes Dropko. Thank you. Steve Poitras. Okay. Jessica Nomick. Thank you. Now we have Tim, Joyce, and Joho, Megan, thanks. Jerry and Barry Gladue. Ed Baldwider and Edna.
Baldwider.
Okay. Melissa Burgess. Scott Donald. Thank you. Margaret Harrison. Robert Pida. Fred Borbowski. You are. Dwayne Lee. Daniel Lambert. Daniel. Recorded then. Emil and Donna Kowalski. Dean Finlay. Please. And I'll just read the last two names I have. Brent Tingey. Thank you. John Rosal and Teresa Rosal. Is there anyone whose name I did not call who wishes to speak in opposition? Thank you.
My name is Dean Finley, and I'll list my address as 351 Harold Avenue West. That's not a residential address, it's a school address, and I come to you as a principal of John W. Gunn Middle School. And the students of John W. Gunn Middle School are involved in a fairly extensive outdoor education program, and we access the bioreserve on a very regular basis. And as an educational leader, I support that. And as a steward of the environment, I support that. And the province's mandate supports sustainable development. And I am here in opposition to the movement because I don't see it as being sustainable in terms of what we're trying to do for the kids of our community and the kids of Manitoba. So that's why I came here this evening. Very interesting comments, and I appreciate the presentation of the business, but I certainly am in opposition to the proposal. So thank you.
Mr. Finley. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You're the last presenter that we know of in opposition, and you're an educator. The challenge we always have as a city is when we're doing development and the city's growing, at the same time we're actually spending more fixing our roads, so you get more industries like this coming up and popping up and trying to find room for it. So there's a challenge to find areas for this. At the same time, we have this issue where by and large the majority of the issues we've heard tonight, or a lot of the concerns at least we've heard, tend to be the environment, you know, what you're mentioning about the kids going to the biosphere. And the irony of that, the environmental hearing, or the, we don't even know if there would be an environmental hearing, but the clean environment licensing is 100% subject to the provincial, it's not a jurisdiction of the city, it's jurisdiction of the provincial government, that they have to rule on this matter as well, yet their ruling is subsequent to ours, which I guess I find it ironic that, that you know, clean air and clean water are secondary to land use, which, because if this room, for example, is full of smoke right now, we would have to vacate. We wouldn't be able to have this meeting, right? If we didn't, I mean, if we as a city didn't have clean water, and I say that with tongue squarely in my cheek with what's been going on, but, you know, if you don't have clean water as a human being, you're not going to, you know, get through life that long. And I guess, do you think the hierarchy, I mean, you're an educator, you've been, I'm assuming, been in the education system for many years and talking about these issues and probably more advanced than many of us in terms of the environmental issues. Do you think we're just, as a society, still trying to catch up to where maybe our children are right now in terms of where we have to go? The fact that it's reversed, that the approval process seems to be reversed in our province, where land use is coming before the environment. And I've lived this before with the Ollie West issue, okay, where we're forced to vote on it here, and then don't worry, we're going to go to, in that case, they were promising a public hearing on the environment. And here we don't even know if we're going to have a public hearing on the environment. So most folks who come here speak about the environmental issues because they don't know if they're going to actually have another chance. Anyway, it's a long-winded question. If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to, but...
Suppose I spend the bulk of my day conversing with 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and their concerns are presented in a more pedestrian manner, I suppose, but are the same as ours. And I think our involvement with the bioreserve and our opportunities to expose them to the benefits of the bioreserve push them to think a little deeper on the environment, and as educators we support that. We want our children to develop a more clear understanding of the environment and the impact that certain decisions can have on the environment, and so we've been fielding questions at John W. Gunn about the impact that this plant might have on the bioreserve because the kids enjoy it. And it is a perfect opportunity for us to bring education to life, and for that I think it's a wonderful place for the kids to spend time. I know that the bioreserve is accessed by the high school at a different level than we at the middle school do, but it's such a valuable piece of property, and I've never had the opportunity to work at a school that has such close access to something like this, and I would hate to see it jeopardized, and everything I've heard here this evening puts that bioreserve in jeopardy if this plan moves forward.
And I guess, just to kind of continue the discussion, the challenge or the problem of that we're faced as decision makers here today is the fact that there's a lot of you know, statements being made. And they might be 100% correct in terms of the environment, in terms of health, in terms of safety issues. But we are not the jurisdiction to give judgment on those health and safety issues. We don't have the expertise here. The provincial government has it. And you know, you're an educator. You've been a teacher for many years and an administrator. The irony is that, you know, we should be making our decisions based on reason and logic and rational thinking. In terms of, you know, we're living in the post-enlightenment age. We're not in the dark ages here. We're not living with, you know, whether, you know, possible or perception, even though they say in politics perception is reality, which is very true. But the reality is we're trying to get to the facts. And the frustrating part we have is that the fact, you know, we can't determine what those facts are at this point. Because we don't have those environmental expertise, because we're not dealing with the environmental issues first and foremost as a city or a society, and we're dealing with these secondary.
If I can just pick up on the thread of your conversation, I think that's what this group here is asking happen, that there be time to examine it to the point where when the decision is made, and I know it will have to be made, that it's made with facts and not innuendo, and that it's made with logic and understanding. And I applaud the community for coming out and the numbers that they did to bring their opposition to this proposal.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called that wishes to speak to this application? Seeing none, Mr. Chairperson. So if the applicant would like to come back and speak to the comments that were made.
Same name, same address as before. lots of great comments. There are lots of things to consider, lots of information to try and absorb, and I can understand why there's the unknowns felt by people. Just one thing that... some of the information, I think, is driven partly by occupational exposures, things such as silicosis and some of the other health concerns that can result from, for instance, cement dust. Those hazards are largely faced by the workers in immediate vicinity of the cement, actually handling it. I've seen at distribution plants, and I didn't like to see it because I was there in a safety perspective, but people standing in clouds of cement dust, and those are the people that are definitely at risk of some of these health exposures, and they are definitely the folks who should be wearing the PPE that you read people were referring to, respirator masks, the N95 mask is a general requirement when you're working in those vicinities. I have reviewed the MSDSs quite thoroughly from both the safety and environmental perspective, and my review was confirmed by an industrial hygienist that I talked with. A lot of the numbers that are coming from the material safety data sheets regarding the occupational exposure are from third-party industrial hygienists, and she was in complete agreement with me in that the workers in the immediate vicinity are the ones that are going to be any potential exposure, the threshold limit values identified. And I know it's a very emotional thing, I understand, but I just wanted to say that. And that also that I can fully understand the concerns for explosions, and one thing to note is that the cement is a non-combustible, and that's clearly identified as well. So I think that's about it, Tony.
I just wanted to thank everybody that came tonight to voice their concerns. I think Councillor Wyatt was correct in earlier questioning Brian on what what all this environmental information that he had earlier proposed have to do with the application at hand, and he's correct in saying that this, and it's been said a few times already, this is a land use decision, and the question the council faces is whether changing to M3 fits in with the general area, and if it makes sense. And forgive me if this is going to sound a little bit back and forth and choppy, but I tried to absorb as much information. I'd like to kind of put some of the residents' concerns to rest, if I could. One thing that is important to point out is that the MTID designation, which is also not only on our property, but in the property that is directly south of us, which is right along the Transcona pathway and basically backing onto the residence, does allow for a lot of uses that would not require anybody using this property to do any type of landscaping or extensive beautification of the area that we are proposing. You know, there are uses that such as landscape and garden centers that would have much larger stockpiles of different type of aggregates and topsoils that they would be selling and using heavy equipment to load, and the same heavy truck traffic and machine traffic would be brought to the area. Uses such as heavy equipment dealer, which would have much larger bulk fuel storages, storage tanks in much larger quantities, not to mention the use of hazardous chemicals that would be associated with servicing such equipment. There was some mention that we moved onto this property and we undertook the cutting down of trees. Well, I'd like to correct that misconception. When we took this property over, in fact, there were dead wood trees everywhere that were rotting, that were covering up such things as derelict vehicles, old stoves, fridges, tires, and just a bunch of junk that were basically in a swamp hole that were on this property that we undertook at our own cost to clean up, disposed of in an environmentally responsible way, and then proceeded to bring clean fill on to the area in order to level it back and make it a much nicer site. Residents, you know, are 100% correct in saying this is a trust issue. They don't know me personally. They probably never heard of our company, some of them. We do have a long history with doing work for the City of Winnipeg and for the province of Manitoba and for the federal government, and we have done so since 1977. We've always been a responsible contractor, whether it come to safety concerns, environmental concerns, accountability to residents, accountability to taxpayers, accountability to the taxpayers' appointed officials. So, I just wanted to clarify that as well. I hear that a lot of the concerns are obviously health related and environment related, and one of them, a big one, is the use of the bioreserve. As you saw with Bill Elliott's email, he basically made it very clear that he has absolutely no concerns with this being put by the biosphere. Now, he is president and CEO of Fort White Center, and he's qualified to say this because he runs the Fort White Center in the midst of a cement manufacturing distribution plant, which is different than a batch plant, and a concrete batch plant, which is a lot bigger scale than ours, and so on and so forth. And he sees these and he sees these operate also in a very responsible manner, and he knows that this definitely can work. I'd like to point out that the users of the Fort White Center are in large part school children and young children and their families that come here and wildlife alike that return in droves without consequence. Not to mention that there are nearby residences. Linden Woods is very close to these locations as well. It's one of the an affluent part of town, if you were to listen to anybody that lived in that area anyway. And again, some of the most dense commercial development is going to be happening very, very close to both the cement and the batch plant that is in that area. IKEA, for example, happened to open up right next door without much of a concern. Uh, One of the residents had some concerns about us operating a different type of facility, and brought forth some points that he wasn't able to contact us. I mean, I basically have told this resident that he has not contacted my office. If this resident has put in complaints and they have been ignored, they were unbeknownst to me. We have in the past been visited from Manitoba Conservation early on with the crushing plant. We did have an improvement order due to some dust, which we automatically corrected, and since then have never had another improvement order. We've been diligent and we've changed the surface to asphalt chips. It was a bit of a learning process early on, but again, this is a different type of operation. But I felt it necessary, since it was quite some elaborate points made, that I did speak to this. I guess, basically, in closing, all I can say and all I have is the reputation that our company and ourselves do have. I get it. I'm a father. I have young children, and whom I love dearly as much as every resident loves their own. And it's not my intention, and nor would I allow under my control anything to put any human being at risk, whether it be children or adults alike. I mean, I think we can be very responsible. It's a catch-22, because we can't show these residents that we can be responsible and this can work in their area until we can actually do this. So to the residents, all I can say is that we will be very accountable, and that's basically all that I have for this evening. I want to thank council and the clerk and everyone in attendance for listening to our submission, and I want to wish everybody a good night.
I don't have any questions, but thank you for your presence.
Thank you. Yeah. Addressed. Most of them I... Okay. All right.
Okay. I am for now. Just leave that a little bit there.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move that the report of the Winnipeg Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Post.